ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। यस्टरडे आई बिलीव मेनी ऑफ अस वर्शिप श्री गिरिराज बाय परफॉर्मिंग परिक्रमा। हाउ मेनी ऑफ यू परफॉर्म द परिक्रमा यस्टरडे? I could tell how you are all, or many of you are, performing a kirtan of coughing, congregational coughing, which is certainly a symptom of your sincere parikrama yesterday. Unlimited glories of Krishna are none different than the unlimited glories of the hill named Govardhan. Just as Lord Krishna descended from the highest planet in the spiritual world, Goloka, so did the forest of Vrindavan, Yamuna Devi, and Shri Giriraj Govardhan. The Garga Samhita tells a beautiful story of how Govardhan Hill manifested in the spiritual world. Of course, everything in this spiritual world is eternal, without beginning and without end. But for the sake of Leela, there is incredible and oftentimes inconceivable variegatedness for only one purpose, which is the singular purpose of life. For Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, to exchange love through his pleasure potency and through his infinite parts and parcels. And for each part and parcel to taste Krishna's love and to exist simply to offer love. This world, which is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, is a place where people forgetful that the real object of all love is the Supreme Soul, the all-attractive Rasa Bihari, Sri Krishna. We try to find satisfaction by reposing our need to find pleasure in the various temporary objects, animate or inanimate, within this creation, only to be inevitably frustrated. Krishna tells in Gita, Abrahma bhuvanar loka punar avatanorjana mamu peititukonteya punar janmana vidyate. from the highest planet in this material existence to the lowest, they are all essentially places of misery. Because everything is temporary. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha nidarshana. Whoever we are, we must pass through birth, old age, disease, and death. Krishna is explaining from the perspective of the Creator. We can have philosophers, poets, novelists, prophets, academic scholars, write hundreds of millions of books, scientists, about how this creation is working. But it is achintya. It is inconceivable. And the reason it is inconceivable is because it is the manifestation of Krishna, who is inconceivable. Om Purnam Ada Purnam Idam. This phenomenal relative world, its source is Krishna. And Krishna's Maya is ruling over this material existence. Daivihyeshu gunamayi mama maya duratiya. This Maya is Krishna's energy. And she's all powerful. So Srila Prabhupada was very strong to repeatedly assert this point, that if we actually want to transcend the sufferings of material existence, if we want to go beyond the inevitable fate of this body, which is death, we must receive knowledge from the source of all knowledge. Vedaischa sarvairaham eva vedyo. Krishna says, I am the compiler of the Vedas and I am the knower of Vedanta. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Krishna knows every minute detail of how his existence is working. Vedaham samatitani varatamanani tarjuna. Krishna knows everything that has ever happened in the past of all the universes, in all creations. He knows everything that's happening now. He hears every word. He hears every thought. He sees every action of every tree, every plant. He knows exactly how each stone and each grain of sand is moving about or not moving about. Krishna knows everything. He's in and between every atomic particle. And besides that, nothing could happen unless sanctioned directly or indirectly by his energies. So when Krishna is telling us in Bhagavad Gita how material existence works, it's not someone else's opinion. It's the statement of the Creator. And therefore his words are absolute, because he is absolute. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. And he has three eternal features. His all-pervading, impersonal Brahman, which is the ultimate destination for those who seek the impersonal form of mukti, the Paramatma, the Lord who is seated within the heart of every living being, is our ultimate friend and benefactor and witness, and Bhagavan, whose body is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, who is living in a spiritual realm where he invites all living beings into his beautiful pastimes. Krish means attraction. Na means unlimited. Krishna is unlimitedly attractive. To the extent we experience even a drop of Krishna's fathomless oceanic nature of beauty, even the greatest pleasures in this world, Yamunacharya said, things that we're all so attached to, he said, the thought of it makes my lips curl in distaste and I spit at the thought. What is that spitting? It's not spitting on the things of this world or the people in this world. It's spitting on the egoistic, selfish motivation of wanting to be the enjoyer. Because that tendency to want to be the enjoyer is the source of all pain. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhradam sarva bhutanam gyatvamam shanti mirchchati. Krishna tells in Gita, if you just understand these three simple principles, you could be happy and peaceful forever. That Krishna is the proprietor of everything. That our greatest fulfillment is just utilizing whoever we are, whatever we have, for Krishna's pleasure. And knowing that in every situation, if we turn to Krishna, he's always our intimate, most well-wishing friend. As Krishna is all attractive in Goloka, his pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani, is all attractive. She is the ultimate source of attraction for Krishna. So Radha, Krishna, and Gopis were sitting together in Goloka Vrindavan. Now, before I tell the story, another philosophical observation. It is, Prabhupada told us that one of the features of the spiritual world beyond the three modes of material nature is that time is conspicuous by its absence. But you read in the scriptures of how Yashoda Mai is waiting for Krishna with Nanda Maharaj and all the gopis as they're out herding the calves or the cows throughout the day. And when Krishna's with the gopis at night, the cows and the calves are just dreaming of waiting for that moment for the sun to rise when they'll be with Krishna with all the gopas in the pastures again. So when we use the word when in the context of the spiritual realm, time is conspicuous by its absence because the time of the spiritual world is working under the power of yoga maya. In this material world, Krishna showed time in its very, very blatant truth in the Gita when he manifested the Virat Rupa, the universal form. And Arjuna saw everything being devoured by this universal form. Krishna said, "Time I am." By the power of time, and for us, because of our relative tininess, when I give a lecture, it seems like a really long time, although it's actually just a couple hours. But the reality is even the great Himalayan mountains, the Swiss Alps, the Rocky Mountains, in a matter of just a little bit of time, they will all be ground into fine, dusty powder. The Pacific Ocean, the Indian Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Arctic Ocean, all of these oceans will be utterly dry. The sun will fizzle out like a little match. And all the planets of the universe disappear. Now, from the absolute perspective, all this happens many, many, many times in the extent of time that Krishna inhales and exhales as Mahavishnu. But in the spiritual world, because everything is eternal, everything is full of knowledge, and everything is full of bliss, Satchit Ananda, time is an energy of yoga maya simply to facilitate the rasas, the sweet nectar of loving relationships between Krishna and his devotees and all the devotees with each other. So one day, Radharani turned to Lord Krishna in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. And she said, my dear Shyam Sundar, if you are pleased with my love, with all the gopis' love, if you are pleased with these enchanting forests of Vrindavan and with our Rasa Leela, then I have one desire that I wish you to fulfill. Lord Krishna smiled and said, whatever you desire is the love of my life. Sri Radharani, she said, we desire that you create the supreme, most pleasing place for us to perform our pastimes. Of course, we learn from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that Sri Radha and gopis, when they express a desire, their only desire is Krishna's happiness. They make themselves beautiful only for Krishna's happiness. They are happy only because that makes Krishna happy. And sometimes in separation, they cry only to give Krishna happiness, because whatever they do is an expression of their love. So please create a supremely enjoyable place for all of us to perform our pastimes. Krishna smiled and he said, so be it. And then he turned his meditation, his full attention into the very core of his heart, where he meditated upon the deepest essence of his own love. And that love manifest from Krishna's heart in the form of a seed that appeared to be made out of fire and water. That seed entered into the ground where the Rasa Lila would take place. And right in front of Sri Radha and Krishna and Gopi's eyes, that little seed began to grow. And within moments, it became a hill and then a magnificent mountain with Kalpa Vriksha trees by the millions. And each tree was bearing sweet flowers and fruits. And there were waterfalls and lakes and birds singing. Seeing this, the greatest joy came upon Radha Gopinath. And Krishna took Radharani by the hand, and the gopis followed, and they explored this incredible hill, which was the manifestation of Krishna's love. And that is Govardhan Hill in the spiritual world. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam how Krishna promised Lord Brahma that he would descend into the material world. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutam adharmasya tadatmanam shajamyaham. And Krishna expressed to Sri Radharani in the spiritual world that he was going to descend. And he wanted her to descend with him to reveal pastimes of the highest expression of spiritual realization, prema bhakti. Once in a day of Brahma, 8,640,000,000 years does Radha Krishna appear from Goloka Vrindavan to perform their pastimes. Very special. Sri Radharani told Krishna that I will not find much happiness without the forests of Vrindavan, the river Yamuna, and the Govardhan Hill, because these are Krishna's favorite places. And they're so dear to Krishna because they're Radharani's favorite places. And they're so dear to Radharani because they're Krishna's favorite places. Therefore, these places are ever increasingly giving happiness to both Radha Gopinath. Krishna told Sri Radharani that the forests of Vrindavan, the river Yamuna, and Govardhan Hill have already descended into this world to facilitate our pastimes. The Puranas tell how Giriraj descended from Goloka. Just west of Bharatvarsha. And he was the son of Dronachala. And when he appeared, every mountain in the whole universe realized that this mountain has descended from the spiritual world of Goloka. And they all worshiped Govardhan Hill, perform parikrama of Govardhan Hill, and accepted that Govardhan Hill is the king of all mountains. Now, there may be different types of kings of mountains, but Giriraj is the king of all kings because he's none different than Krishna. And simultaneously, he gives the greatest pleasure to Krishna. This took place long ago. In the Satya Yuga, Pulastya Muni, one of the great sages, he went to this area called Samalidvip, and there he saw the beauty of Govardhan, and he just felt so much happiness. He asked Dronachala, "I want to take your son with me. I have been doing a yatra all over the world, and my place of residence is Kashi. The river Ganges floats there. But I want to take Govardhan and sit on top and do my meditation." Now, on one hand, it's like Vishwamitra Muni asking for Ram. Dronachala, how can I give up the association of my son, more dear to me than my life? But at the same time, he didn't want to make an offense to a great sage. So Govardhan, he understood what his purpose in this world was. It was to come to Braj Bhumi. So he made his plan. He said, "My dear father, I will go. I want to go. I want to go with this great sage. But how are you going to take me?" Pulastya Muni said, "I will carry you in my right hand by my mystical powers." At that time, Govardhan was very, very big size. Govardhan said, "I will go with you on the condition that you agree if anywhere you put me down, I will stay there." Pulastya Muni said, "It is agreed." And he lifted Giriraj. And by his mystical powers, he could travel in the sky. And they came all the way from Samalidvip, and as they were just passing over Braj Bhumi, Giriraj, the king of mountains, was thinking, "This is my eternal residence." So he became heavy. And Pulastya Muni had to come to the ground, holding Giriraj up to rest. But then, by Krishna's inconceivable arrangement, Krishna can perform the most historical episodes in history in such simple ways. Suddenly, by Krishna's arrangement, he's the controller of all controllers, Pulastya Muni had to respond to the call of nature. We all know what that's like. Now, he's a yogi, so he knows how to control all of these impulses and by his yogic powers. But Krishna is Yogeshwar. He's the supreme master of all yogis, who can conquer any yogi. So somehow or other, he needed to pass water. And he lost his intelligence and just was focused on that alone. And he put Govardhan down and went off to the side and passed water, and then he washed himself and he came back to pick up Giriraj, and Giriraj did not move. He forgot. sarvasya cha aham hridi shanivishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna says in Gita, I am the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And in this case, Krishna was the source of his forgetfulness. And if Krishna wants you to forget, it doesn't matter how many brain cells you have. You can't remember anything. And if Krishna wants you to remember, it doesn't matter if you don't have a brain at all. If you're in the ICU intensive care unit with brain hemorrhaging and you're in a total coma, if Krishna wants you to remember, you'll be seeing his pastimes in Vrindavan while everyone else is thinking, oh, my poor loved one. Pushti, Pushti Marg, the path of grace. Bhakti is the path of grace. If Krishna is pleased with the sincerity of our service, the sincerity of our endeavor, those two fingers we've been discussing, if we just serve with genuine sincerity and enthusiasm, with the right motivations, then we attract Krishna's mercy. And ultimately, that mercy is our only qualification. Bhaktyatvananiyashakya aham evam vidurjana. In Gita, Krishna tells, only through devotion, bhakti, can I be seen as I am standing before you. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. When our eyes are decorated with the ornament of bhakti, then Krishna reveals himself. So in this incredible pastime, the greatest king of all mountains that descended into this from the spiritual world of Goloka down to this world found its place in Sri Braj Bhumi through this incredible pastime of Krishna. Pulastya Muni, again, Krishna in his heart, he became angry momentarily, and he cursed Govardhan. Because you're not coming with me to Kashi, I curse you that every day you're going to shrink in size the length of a mustard seed. Now, for us, that's not much. But when you're thinking about millions and millions of years, it's a lot. This was Krishna's arrangement. Because this is in Satya Yuga. And Krishna was going to appear in Dwapara Yuga. And Govardhan Hill was just too big to have such pastimes. In those days, Govardhan Hill, its dimensions were huge. Its peaks were above the clouds. So Pulastya Muni was an agent of Krishna's will, so that when Krishna came to this world, Govardhan was so nice, just the right size for his calves to be frolicking up and down and the gopas and the gopis. And Giriraj was just waiting. Treta Yuga came. And the Supreme Lord Krishna appeared as Lord Rama. And we know the story how Ram and Sita and Lakshman were banished into the forest for 14 years. And while they were living not far from Mumbai or Pune in Panchavati, Suparnaka came and she wanted to cause harm to Sita. So Lakshman cut off her nose And from that time on, it is called Nasik. It's a place, one of the four places of Kumbh Mela, where the river Godavari comes together with the river Kapila Dev. I'm a Kapila. Anyways, it was there in Nasik that Ravana stole Sita and brought her to Sri Lanka. And Hanuman discovered her. And with all of the great army of the Vanaras, the monkeys and the bears, they were building a bridge 800 miles long, 100 miles wide across the Indian Ocean from the Rameshwaram area to Sri Lanka. And we know the story of the little spiders and squirrels that were just kicking grains of sand, and Ram was accepting their service every bit as he was Hanuman and the very, very most powerful monkeys lifting up entire mountains to float in the water in the bridge. And they were so enthusiastic. They were going all over the place picking up these mountains and giant rocks. And in Vrindavan, we hear the story of Hanuman came here and went to pick up Govardhan. And compare it to some of the other mountains that Hanumanji was lifting, Govardhan was not so big or heavy in size, but he couldn't get Govardhan off the ground. So Hanumanji understood by his pure, unalloyed love and devotion to Sri Rama that this mountain is sacred. This mountain is worshipable. So he offered his dandavat pranams, and he began to worship Giriraj with love and devotion and asked permission. Please allow me to lift you up so I can help build a bridge to reconnect Ram and Sita. And Govardhan said, yes, I will make myself light and you may take me. And when he was just about to go, Hanuman heard a voice that we don't need any more mountains because the bridge is complete. So Govardhan was sad. I wanted to have darshan with Sri Ram. Tell Ram my heart. So Hanuman went back, and after the build, the bridge, and everything else that happened in Sri Lanka, he came back to Govardhan to give Ram's message that Ram is going to descend in his original transcendental form of Krishna in Vrindavan. And here you will facilitate the innermost intimate loving pastimes of Sita Ram, Sarada, and Krishna, and all of their gopas and gopis. So Govardhan waited. We discussed on the day of Govardhan Puja how Krishna showed the incredible faith of the Brijbasis. We cannot explain this too many times. In his own little childlike way, at the age of 7, he put their lives at total risk. For generations, this Indra Puja was going on. Because they need rain. And please understand, in those days, the devatas, people understood them as factual personalities. today, if you tell someone don't worship this demigod because you know you should do something else, well, we really don't know if it works anyway. We just do it because we think they're there, or because somebody told us they're there. They might be there just in case they're there. But these were very highly elevated beings in Dwarpa Yuga. They knew as a fact that Indra was supplying the rain. And Krishna said, forget Indra. He's just the instrument of our karma. Take all this puja paraphernalia, all of this food, and offer it to Govardhan Hill and to the cows and the Brahmins. The Brijabasis showed their ultimate state. They were not concerned with life or death. They were just concerned with pleasing Krishna. And if this is what pleases you, Krishna, we'll do it. There's no other consideration. Atapum virdvijastrestas varanashrama vibhakasha svanustitasya dharmasya samsidir haditoshanam. The real success of whatever our duties may be, spiritual, occupational, domestic, is that we please Krishna. Sarva dharman puritya mamekam sharanam braja. And in this very simple way, Nanda, Yashoda, and all the Brijabasis manifested this abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to giving pleasure to Krishna. And they didn't even know he's God. So beautiful. They just loved him. And Indra sent his rains, and Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. But before doing that, he manifested as Govardhan Hill. He manifested a huge form and said, I am the hill Govardhan. So we understand, in truth, that Giriraj is Krishna. Absolutely non-different from Krishna. A self-manifesting deity of Krishna. And every single little part of Govardhan is Krishna himself. But the saints and scriptures tell we can't take this whimsically. We cannot just take a stone from Govardhan Hill and take it home with us. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his Govardhan Shila to Raghunath Das Goswami, who is the Prayojana Acharya. It's the highest, most serious type of worship in pure, unalloyed love. To take any single pebble from Govardhan Hill, away from Govardhan Hill, is an offense. Unless we have profuse blessings, permission from our spiritual masters, and it's given to us as a gift with those blessings. So please, it's not a souvenir. It's Krishna's body, and we cannot even disconnect a single pebble of Krishna's body without profuse blessings, permissions, instructions, and the giving of the heart of great souls. At the same time, Srimati Radharani in Srimad Bhagavatam, she declares Govardhan Hill as Haridas Varaya. His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj has described this very eloquently a few days back. In essence, our scriptures tell that Haridas Varya means the greatest devotee of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Radha. Krishna, who's playing the role of his supreme devotee, to taste the sweetness of her devotion and to also personify and distribute the sweetness of that love to the people of this world. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Godadveshe Namaha. Rupa Goswami understood Lord Chaitanya, his inner heart and his purpose. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Rupa Goswami, seeing his humility, his devotion, he actually empowered Rupa Goswami's heart with his own love, with Sri Radha's love. And Rupa Goswami is telling, of all incarnations, Lord Chaitanya is the most munificent, because he's exemplifying and distributing the love of the gopis of Vrindavan in this age of Kali Yuga to the most unqualified people. He's Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar. He's the avatar that's reaching down to the lowest people and giving them the highest gift. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu played the role of a devotee. And in a similar way, like Govardhan, who is Krishna, is playing the role of a devotee. And who knows better what a devotee is than the supreme ultimate devotee, Srimati Radharani. And she's speaking in Srimad Bhagavatam. It doesn't have her name, but acharyas like Raghunath Das Goswami and Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others, Vishwanath Thakurvarti Thakur, they identify that this is Srimati Radharani speaking. That of all the devotees, Govardhan is the greatest. Because his whole existence is finding happiness only in making Krishna happy. And what makes Krishna most happy is making Krishna's devotees happy and facilitating devotional service. The cows. Krishna loves his cows, and the cows love Krishna. In the morning, the cows won't give any milk until Krishna comes. They're just stamping their hooves, just waiting for Krishna and mooing and mooing and mooing. And when Krishna comes, in their own sweet cow voices, they're chanting Krishna's names. And then they give unlimited quantities of milk, like nectar. Govardhan Hill, in the ecstasy of service, his hairs are standing on end in the form of the blades of grass. Unlimited blades of grass. And each blade, every single blade without exception. Because understand that Giriraj is the supreme person in the role of a devotee, of servant of the servant of the servant. Every single blade of grass is meticulously being offered with the qualities of Sugandha. It is intense. intoxicatingly fragrant. So fragrant that the cows, just smelling it, go mad with ecstasy. And Sukamala, which means each and every blade of grass is a unique, special offering that is so soft, so that it not only tastes delicious, but it feels so good in the mouth of the cow. And just comes right out like... How many of you have herded cows in your life? Please raise your hand. Sachinandan Maharaj is a gopi at Yadubar also. Well, in my early days as a devotee, for about 6 years, I herded cows. And I'm not going to go into too many details. But with a little stick, we try to take them to places where the best grass was. And sometimes, you know, the cows, the grass is really like dry and stuck in the ground, and you see the cows go... Sometimes they chew on it and they just let it fall out because it's not very good. But Govardhan Hill... Just practically jumps in their mouth when they touch it. And it's so soft and so nectarine and sweetness and so fragrant. And the cows are in ecstasy. They're intoxicated, eating grass. And it's also Pushtivardhana. That means every single blade of grass is fully conscious to make the cows healthy, full of enthusiasm, and strong, and happy. And each single blade of grass is dundasap, dukdasampak, which means it produces the most intoxicating beverage of milk. And the cows are reciprocating with Govardhan, because by eating the grass, they're in so much ecstasy. Their milk is turning into, the grass is turning into ecstatic liquid prem. And the cows water the grass with their milk. That is Giriraj's offering. And the stones on Govardhan Hill, in the summer, they're cool. In the winter, they're warm. Any calf, any cow, any gopa, any gopi, Krishna, Balaram, Radharani, anyone who steps on, immediately the stone becomes soft like butter. Just to give pleasure to Krishna. And waterfalls, lakes. Our scriptures tell us that the nectar of the demigods is nothing in taste and fragrance compared to every drop of water from every lake, waterfall, and little river on Govardhan Hill. And when the gopas and the gopis and let us take example, the cows drink it and then the gopas drink it, they become so much surcharged with happiness because this is Govardhan's love. This is Govardhan's premananda in the manifestation of his tears of love in the form of all the water. And when the gopas drink it, they roll in the ground in the dust and scream out the names of Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
And sometimes the gopis, how fortunate is Govardhan Hill? That if we want to embrace Krishna, it's a very, very special secret. But Giriraj is embracing Krishna all day long in the water of these beautiful lakes, right in the open. And the caves of Govardhan Hill, perfect places for Radharani and Sri Krishna, Krishna and Gopas, to rest. Giriraj has furniture made out of precious jewels, beautiful mirrors. In this way, in the most thorough ways, Giriraj is there to give every detail of pleasure to facilitate all of Krishna's devotees to be happy. And this is such an important philosophical principle. Haridasvarya means he's most dear to Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught us. Gopi Bharatur Padakamala Yoda Dasa 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 Anudas. The highest aspiration he was yearning for in the mood of Sri Radha is to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis. And Madbhakta Puja Pyatika. Krishna says, to worship my devotees is more pleasing to me than worshiping me. So when Srimati Radharani is declaring Giriraj to be Haridasvarya, the devotee that's most pleasing to Krishna, she wants the whole world to know that this is what it means to please Krishna. To give one's body, mind, words, life to serve those who Krishna loves. To facilitate others to give happiness to Krishna. Govardhan is not trying to show I'm giving better pleasure than others. Govardhan is taking the lowest position at everyone's feet to give pleasure to those who are giving pleasure to Krishna, to facilitate others to give pleasure to Krishna. And when Krishna sees that that is our real happiness, to facilitate other devotees giving pleasure to Krishna, then that makes us most dear to Krishna. If we try to step on other people's heads to give pleasure to Krishna, we don't understand. Giriraj lets everybody walk on his head so that they could give pleasure to Krishna. And therefore, he is most dear to Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that those who give this message to my devotees, and ultimately everyone is Krishna's devotees, are most dear to me. To bring other people to Krishna and to find happiness in seeing other people. Giriraj's greatest happiness is seeing Radha and Krishna dancing together in the caves of Govardhan, doing Rasa Leela. The Rasa Stali. To see Krishna and Balaram herding the cows and all the cows looking at Krishna lovingly and giving their milk for Krishna and the gopas playing beautiful games and just to be supplying water and supplying some rocks for them to play on is his greatest happiness. You see, if we want to understand what Vrindavan is, we must understand this principle. What gives pleasure to Krishna? To facilitate everyone to give pleasure to Krishna is what will make us dear to Krishna. How Srila Prabhupada manifested that, we were discussing. On Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, so many of our dear God brothers and God sisters. While some people were here in Vrindavan circumambulating Govardhan Hill, Srila Prabhupada was circumambulating the planet Earth 11 times just to facilitate people the great happiness of loving Krishna. Haridas Varga. That is the spirit of Sri Braj Bhumi. Govardhan facilitates endless leelas and inspires great personalities to broadcast his glories all over the world. Now, with your permission, we will take you on a brief parikrama of Govardhan Hill. Yesterday, many of you worshipped Sri Giriraj by performing the parikrama. For some, it is an austerity. For some, it is an ecstasy. For others, it is both. According to our realizations. But Giriraj is Krishna. Yeya tamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. According to our consciousness, as we approach Krishna, Krishna is going to reciprocate accordingly. We have all come in this yatra as humble beggars. You see, if you think you're great, you have zero standing in Vrindavan. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, when they first met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they proclaimed themselves to be the lowest of the low, the most fallen of all the fallen. We cultivate love for Vrindavan, love for Krishna, through the chanting of the holy names. And in order to approach the holy Dham, the holy form of the Lord as the deity, or in his supreme form of the holy name, we must cultivate humility, forgiveness, and learn how to respect others from the heart. So to come to Vrindavan in the proper mood is to come as beggars. What can we give to Krishna? Except we're begging for Krishna to accept our love. So when we come to Vrindavan, we shouldn't come thinking, I will enjoy. We should come thinking, I will become purified. Now, I didn't tell you this before you came, because I didn't get to talk to you before. But this is really the essence of why we come here, to become purified. And sometimes purification is really fun, and sometimes it appears to be very painful. Have any of you had any of that experience during this yatra? Your coughing kind of answers the questions. There's about 5,000 of you, or us. So sometimes crowding in the buses, and crowding here, and crowding there, and crowding everywhere else, and sometimes it could be, it's not the only way to be done. But if that's what's happening to you here in Vrindavan, then it's very fast-track purification. Because whether we're all alone and brokenhearted in Vrindavan, or whether there's 5,000 people who are standing in line to get a little prasad, whatever the situation may be, if we just take shelter of Krishna, that I've come here to love you and to serve you and to please you, then you'll make such great spiritual progress. That's why we have come. So, yesterday, many of you with your bare lotus feet performed the parikrama. Some of you from Bombay or Pune or London or New York or other such places, you're not accustomed to going bare feet, so it may have been an austerity. But I like to cite one poem from a great Brijabasi writer. He said, "When I'm in Vrindavan walking barefoot, I feel 10 million times more happiness than the happiness of being liberated in the Supreme Brahman. I feel 10 million times more happiness than Brahman realization every time a sacred thorn pierces into my foot." Haribo. I'm sure that realization gives you solace. Everything is according to our perception. Srila Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that if somebody bites you, it hurts. Now, sannyasis don't know that much about this, so I'm just quoting the acharyas. But when your lover bites you, it feels really good. Because you don't feel just the teeth, you feel the love. So similarly, when there's pain in Vrindavan, if we understand that this is Krishna's loving way of purifying me, if you see it that way, tate nukam pam susamiksha mano, and you're grateful with folded palms, say, "Thank you, Krishna, I'm yours," then you become happy. But if you just see it from a mundane perspective without Krishna, you're getting purified, but you're losing such a great opportunity to get so much more. To be thankful to Krishna for whatever experience happens to us in Vrindavan. And to turn to Krishna with humility and thank him as we loudly cry out together his holy name. Krishna, 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 Krishna today we will begin a parikrama through sound vibration. Because transcendental sound is not different from the object of the sound. When we chant Krishna's names, Krishna is dancing on our tongue and entering into our ears and our heart. Similarly, Harikatha talks about Krishna, are none different than Krishna. So simply taking a parikrama through describing various holy places around Sri Giriraj, we're doing the parikrama together. While your lotus-like feet are relaxing. And the congregational coughing carries on. We will begin at Manasi Ganga. Sri Rupa Goswami recommends, of course you can begin Govardhan Parikrama anywhere, but Rupa Goswami recommends beginning at Manasi Ganga because according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan, he came to Sri Govardhan. And the first Shila he saw, he embraced and bathed that Shila with the tears of his love. And he went to Manasi Ganga. And first he took his bath. The history of Manasi Ganga begins with a beautiful story from the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you remember a few days ago in our description of Gokul Mahavan, after Krishna was bound by the ropes of the love of Mother Yashoda, and he took the grinding mortar that he was tied to and crawled through the Yamala Arjuna trees and the trees broke. That was a major disruption. Soon after that, all the leading cowherd men of Gokul met together. And Upananda, the eldest brother of Nanda Maharaj, who was his chief minister, he spoke with great love. He said, Mahavan is no longer a safe place. So many difficulties are coming upon us. First there was Putana, this Rakshashi, and then there was Shakatasura, and then Trinavarta. And now we see these gigantic trees are falling. And at any moment, Krishna could be harmed, but by the grace of Lord Vishnu, he's always being protected. This is not a safe place. We should all move to the forest of Vrindavan. He explained that between Mahavan and Nandagaon, or Nandeshwar, is the forest of Vrindavan. So immediately everybody accepted. Now this is the way the Brijavasis are. And one person just says, let's go, and the entire, all the cows and all the calves and all the gopas and all the gopis, they just move their entire village. They loaded ox carts. They put the old people and the babies on the ox carts. They put the cows and the calves and the bulls in the front. And in Yashoda Mai and Rohini Devi, Krishna was only about 3.5 years old, as was Balaramji. And they were all just the whole while as they're moving in their ox carts and walking by foot. All the millions of cows, they're all chanting Krishna's names. singing Krishna's beautiful pastimes. And when they came to the Vrindavan forest, Krishna and Balaram were especially charmed to see Govardhan Hill. The beauty of the Yamuna as she was flowing through this forest. And the wonderful Kalpavriksha trees everywhere. Very soon after, Krishna was given charge of the calves. Because he and his friends were less than 4 years old. And Srila Prabhupada explains in a beautiful purport how Krishna is the supreme controller of all the universes. But in Vrindavan, he's not fit to take care of the cows. So he's given charge of the calves. And even though Krishna and Balaram are the sons of Nanda and Yashoda, the Brajaraj and Brajarani, still, he does his seva. So Krishna and the Gopas with Balaram, they would go out every day with so many, many calves. And they played. After they got away from home and came into the pastures and the forests, they would see such ripe, delicious fruits in the trees, and they were so attracted. Sometimes they would take a piece of stone and tie a rope to it, and then throw the stone and make the stone wrap around the fruit, and then pull the string and eat the fruits. And some of them didn't even bother with the strings. They were such good at their aim that they would throw the stone in, it would hit the fruit, and the fruit would fall down, and all the gopas would say, "Well done, well done." And other times they'd get these amalaki fruits, which were like balls, and they'd play so many ball games. Baseball, football, basketball, and even cricket. They are all perverted reflections of amalaki ball. That the gopas would play with Krishna in the spiritual field. And they would run and they would jump and play hide and seek and imitate the movements and the sounds of different animals and birds. One day, an asura, his name was Vatsasura, he was so cunning, so devious and cruel, that he took the form of a tiny, innocent-looking little calf. His only intention was to kill Krishna and Balaram. Now, what is more innocent and helpless looking than a calf? They're very small. They always look kind of scared. They have beautiful little glistening lotus eyes, and when they look at you, it's with such innocence. And calves, they like to chew on your saris or dhotis, because they just see everyone like their own little mother. This calf, was following Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna turned to Balaram and indicated to him that, "You see this sweet little innocent looking calf? He's a monstrous demon that has come to kill us." Krishna and Balaram very slowly, quietly, discreetly, they walk behind little Latsasura. Suddenly Krishna grabbed him by the hind legs. He started twirling him around over his head so faster, until Vatsasura died of dizziness. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki! And after Vatsasura was liberated, what was left of his body, Krishna just... And Vatsasura was twirling in the sky. And Krishna very specifically aimed him. Because Krishna likes to do many things through one act. Krishna saw a kapita tree. And kapita trees are very high and the fruits are hard to get. And he knew that the gopas loved kapita fruits. So, Vatsasura landed right on the top of a kapita tree, and then he grew into this enormous, gigantic, monster size. And in doing so, he made all these fruits fall down. And all the little gopas were clapping their hands and jumping up and down, crying out, "Well done, well done." And the devatas were showering flowers on Krishna. And then all the gopas enjoyed the fruits. Now Thakur Bhaktivinoda explains that Vatsasura represents a childish mentality that is prone to bad association, which can divert us from the true path of devotional service. Sometimes what can be so critical to our spiritual well-being, we don't really take note of. Unless we have proper discrimination, we can easily be misguided by things that seem harmless, but can ultimately create great diversion. Srila Prabhupada gave us so many of his books, and as we heard from His Holiness Satchinandan Maharaj, Vaisheshika Prabhu, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, how Srila Prabhupada emphasized, he put his heart and life, his ecstasies, all the essence of the knowledge of Krishna and all the great acharyas in these books, and how important it was for us to read them, to whatever capacity we have to do so, so that we have proper intelligence to discriminate between what is favorable for devotional service and what is unfavorable. It doesn't mean we disrespect people, but we have to be very careful to understand what can divert our attention away from the path of pure devotion. Mahat sevam dwaram ahu vimuktes tamo dwaram yoshita sangi sangam. The fifth canto of Bhagavat tells us that association with great souls opens the doors to liberation. But indiscriminate association with people too much attached to the material ego and material sense enjoyment can open the doors to bondage. Niskinchanasya Pajano Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that to associate with people too addicted to these things is like poison. We can give association, but we have to be very, very careful not to allow this vatsasura, which seems to be such an innocent thing, to create havoc in our lives. So certainly throughout the day, we have to, many of us have to work, many of us have so much family, so many people we associate with. But if we have strong sadhana, if we have strong association with sadhus, with holy people, if we have strong discrimination by nourishing ourselves, by reading Srila Prabhupada and holy books, then we can actually elevate people and not be dragged down by the vatsasura. We should be childlike, but we should not be childish. So after this, the cowherd boy said to Krishna that we don't want to play with you now because you just killed a calf. Krishna said, but the calf was a demon. They said, we know he was a demon, but still he was a calf. So you should purify yourself. Krishna said, what should I do? They said, you should take bath in the river Ganga. Krishna said, well, I don't want to leave Vrindavan, so I will bring the Ganga here. So Krishna sat down and meditated, manasa, with his mind. And from his mind, Mother Ganga sprang out, right in the middle of where Govardhan is, to form Manasa Ganga. The Ganga that actually manifested from Krishna's mind. And then Krishna bathed in the Ganga, Manasi Ganga, and all the gopas bathed in Manasi Ganga, and the calves drank the water from Manasi Ganga, and it became a very, very beautiful place. And that is how Manasi Ganga manifested in Sri Braj Bhumi. One day, Nanda Maharaj was with the other cowherd men and elder cowherd ladies. They were hearing some Brahmins describe the glories of the river Ganga. And there was a... They heard how Garuda captured a snake with his talons, his claws, and was flying away with him. And he happened to fly over the river Ganga. And the tail of the snake happened to touch Mother Ganga. And at that moment, the snake turned into a four-armed form of a resident of the spiritual world. When Garuda saw that, he became so ecstatic. He took that, who used to be a snake, and he put that spiritual-bodied person on his back and flew him nonstop to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. So Nanda and the cowherd men said, we must go to the Ganga to take bath. It's very, very holy. So they started arranging for this pilgrimage, and they were putting things on their ox carts and arranging and packing things for the long trip. And Krishna asked, where are you going? Nanda Maharaj said, we're going to the Ganga to take bath. And Krishna said, you don't have to go out of Vrindavan. All the holy places in the whole universe are all in Vrindavan, including the Ganga. And Nanda Maharaj said, well, you are just a small boy. What are you talking? How is Ganga here? Ganga's in Himalayas. We're going to the Ganga. No, you must understand. Nobody believed him. He said, just come with me. And Krishna took Nanda and the other gopas and gopis to Manasiganga. And just at that moment, the presiding deity of the Ganga, Ganga Devi, emerged from Manasiganga riding on a crocodile. And she smiled. And she offered her pranams and her worship to little Krishna. And while she was offering her pranams to Krishna, all the Brijavasis were bowing down and offering their worship to them. And then they understood that this is Ganga. But for the residents of Vrindavan, it's more than just the Ganga. It is the Ganga plus Manasiganga. Not only does it liberate us from our sins, but because it emerged from the heart of Krishna, it's saturated with Krishna's love, and it awards us that love. According to Sri Jiva Goswami, Krishna has so many pastimes at Manasiganga. One time, Sri Radharani and her principal gopis were carrying milk and yogurt and butter in pots on their heads, and they needed to cross over Manasiganga, and it was getting late at night, and there was only one old boat with a boatman who was kind of covering himself with disguise. And they bargained over the price, and it was agreed. And Sri Radharani and gopis got on the boat. And when they were somewhere in the middle of Manasiganga, the boatman said, I'm too tired and too hungry. I can't go any further. Give me your sweets and your butter and your yogurt. So they started feeding him and feeding him and feeding him. And then he took a few more strokes and he said, I ate too much. I can't row anymore. I have to take rest. He said, please, while I'm resting, massage my arms and legs. And they said, we will take your arms and legs and throw you in the Ganga unless you take us to the other side. So then he started rowing again, and he started shaking the boat in so many ways to make it look like it was sinking, and said, there's too much weight in this boat. We're going to sink. Well, what are we supposed to do? He said, all of the pots that you have with all the butter and yogurt and ghee, throw it overboard into the Ganga. Offer it to Mother Ganga, because otherwise we will sink. So they were in the middle of this. And in those days, Manasiganga was much, much bigger than it is now. So they were throwing and throwing until all. Then he rode some more, and then he stopped. He said, we're sinking. There's still too much weight. Take off all your jewels and throw it. So they did that. He started rowing again, and he was shaking. And he said, we're still too heavy. And the gopi said, what should we do? He said, take off all your clothes. They said, we will throw you into the Ganga to compensate for the weight of our clothes unless you get going to the other side. So he started rowing again. But by his yogamaya mystic potencies, all of a sudden giant clouds formed in the sky and heavy winds. And the boat was going this way and that way and rocking back and forth, and water was getting in. And Sri Radharani, spontaneously, by the Leela Shakti of the Lord, it appeared that they were in a helpless situation in the middle of this lake. And she said, oh, boatman, save us. And as soon as she touched Krishna in that way, all the clouds disappeared. And it was a beautiful, beautiful night. The moon arose. And then Radharani realized it was Krishna. And the gopis looked on as she took his flute and showed it to them. And for the rest of the night, they were having beautiful boat pastimes, according to Jiva Goswami, in the lake Manasiganga. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed there, he went to the temple of Haridev. The story is one time Sri Radha and gopis were on the banks of Manasiganga waiting to meet Krishna. But Krishna didn't come. In separation, they started crying out, Haridev, 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 again and again and again. And their separation was intensifying. And as they were chanting the names of Krishna, it was like adding pure ghee to the fire of separation. The fire was burning hotter and hotter and higher and brighter until they were literally on the verge of death, crying out, Haridev, 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 in their love and separation. And at that moment, Krishna appeared in the form of Haridev, a deity of seven-year-old little Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill with the left hand. And the gopis worshipped that deity. And each day they would come back and worship that deity of Lord Krishna. And later on, in the exact spot where that pastime took place, the great-grandson of Krishna, Vajranab, installed the deity of Haridev. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he began his parikrama in this way. First taking his bath in Manasiganga, then having the darshan of Haridev, and for hours and hours, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu beholding the beautiful form of Sri Govardhan Dhari. The Lord was dancing in great ecstasy, attracting all of the villagers of Govardhan to join him as he chanted the holy names. Then Lord Chaitanya went to Brahmakund, which is also in the area of Manasiganga. Brahmakund, we discussed from Srimad Bhagavatam how after Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and defeated Indra's pride, Indra, along with all the major demigods, came to offer an Abhishek ceremony to Lord Krishna. And the water that various of the devatas bathed Krishna with formed 108 different kunds around Govardhan Hill. Some of them still exist. One is Brahma Kund, the water of Lord Brahma that he bathed Krishna with. And there is a Murti temple there of the presiding goddess of this western section of Sri Brajbhumi. Her name is Manasi Devi. Vajranab installed four devis in the four directions of Braj. There is Yogamaya Devi in Vrindavan, Pataleshwari Devi in Mathura, Brinda Devi in Kamvan, and Manasi Devi at Govardhan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also Nityananda Prabhu had described, they both rested at that place of Brahmakund before carrying on with their parikrama of Sri Vrindavan. On the banks of Manasiganga is Chakaleshwar Mahadev. Vajranab installed five principal Mahadevs, or forms of Shiva, in five different areas of Vrindavan to preside over. There is Gopeshwar Mahadev in Vrindavan, Kameshwar Mahadev in Kamyavan, Bhuteshwar Mahadev in Mathura, Nandeshwar Mahadev in Nandagaon, and Chakaleshwar Mahadev at Govardhan. Sanatan Goswami, he made his bhajan kutir on the banks of Manasi Ganga, just beside Chakaleshwar Mahadev. It was there that Sanatan Goswami, from there he would perform the Govardhan Parikrama each day, with dry leaves at night. He would burn to get light to write his books as well as through the day. He would chant the holy names, totally absorbed in loving devotional service. Mosquitoes were starting to bother him. And Sanatan Goswami, because we accept what's favorable for devotional service and reject what's unfavorable, so he decided he wasn't a person who used coils and all that stuff. In honor of the mosquitoes, he would rather leave and go to another place. But that morning, Chakaleshwar Mahadev, not able to bear the thought of separation from such a great Mahatma as Sanatan Goswami, he approached Sanatan in the disguise of a Brahmin. And he said, just try one more night and no mosquitoes will bother you. So to honor this Brahmin, Sanatan Goswami stayed. And meanwhile, Lord Shiva, he summoned the demigod in charge of insects and ordered him, no more mosquitoes here. So Sanatan Goswami lived there for many years. And it was there at Chakaleshwar Mahadev on Manasi Ganga's bank that Sanatan Goswami departed from this world on Guru Purnima. And to this day, the Brijabasis consider that he is the guru of Vrindavan. His love, his compassion for everyone. Mukaravinda, according to Gaudiya Vaishnavas, is the mouth of Govardhan. And there, we visited there yesterday, there's I don't know how many thousands of liters of milk is offered to Sri Giriraj every day at his mouth. Should I continue? As we move forward, we come to Dangati. These are very intimate, very special pastimes of love that have been revealed in the Puranas and by our beloved Acharyas. When Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, when they reveal these beautiful stories, they are simply giving witness to what they see. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. When our eyes are actually anointed with the salve of love, Krishna reveals his pastimes to us. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially sent Rup Sanatan Raghunath Das Goswami, the six Goswamis, to Vrindavan to reveal Krishna's intimate loving pastimes to the world. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Who knows the pastimes of Vrindavan better than Radha Krishna, who has appeared as Lord Chaitanya? And he has summoned most intimate, loving associates from the spiritual world to come to reveal the pastimes of Vrindavan, the holy places of Vrindavan, and also through their writings and through their example, how to access the mercy by which we can connect with those pastimes, realize and experience the love of Krishna that is within our hearts. In the Dhanakeli Kamudi by Rupa Goswami, he describes various pastimes that took place at Krishnaveti or Dangati. It was a very narrow lane between two mountainous areas. And Krishna would perform his pastimes of taxing the gopis there. Krishna had a parrot, Radharani had parrot, Brinda Devi was in charge of all the parrots, and they would all get news special. See, they didn't need these dumb cell phones in those days. They didn't need these dumb internets. They had parrots with ecstatic love. Brinda Devi, she would be like the central control. And all messages would be carried out through this at every moment in such loving, special ways. Krishna would block the way, and there were such expressions of love through jokes and arguments. In Vrindavan, everything, every word, every action, every thought is an exchange of pure, unmotivated love. And as we move a little farther, where we started our parikrama yesterday is Dana Nivartan Kund. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, when he was living at Radha Kund, Rupa Goswami sent him a book that he had wrote, Lalita Madhava. And when he was reading about the separation between Radha and Krishna, he was so overwhelmed. Radharani's deep, intense love of separation that Raghunath Das Goswami could not eat. He was already eating hardly a little pat of buttermilk every day, and now he couldn't even eat that. He was becoming emaciated. He was weeping, and devotees wrote to Rupa Goswami, so Rupa Goswami sent another book, the Dhanakeli Chintamani, which describes the beautiful pastimes of Radha Gopinath together. And when Raghunath Das Goswami read that, he started laughing and he started crying in happiness and started eating his little pet of buttermilk every day. It's a beautiful story. How there was a sacrifice taking place at Govinda Kund. And the story was that anyone who offers a pot of ghee in that sacrifice is going to get all their desires fulfilled. And Radharani and gopis, their only desire is Krishna's happiness. So with the permission of Purnamasi, the guru of Vrindavan, Yogamaya Devi, Sri Radharani and her principal gopis were going with pots of some ghee, butter, to that place. And on the way, Krishna blocked the way with Madhu Mangal, Subal, and some other gopas. And Krishna said, for so many days you are passing with all of this valuables, but you have never paid tax. But the Emperor of Love, Kamadev, has sent me to tax you. Now for each gopi, I want several handfuls of pure diamonds. And Sri Radharani, you have to pay extra tax for every beautiful limb of your body. And Raghunath Das Goswami goes into much detail of each particular tax. And there was an argument that ensued. Lalita Sakhi said, if you don't let us go, then we're going to go tell Kamsa on you. And Krishna said, one of these days I'm going to drag Kamsa right down from his throne and I'm going to beat him to death. That was a prophecy. But nobody took him seriously. And then Krishna said, all right, if you insist, I'll let everybody else go, but we'll keep Lalita Sakhi in hostage until you all come back with your taxes. Nandi Mukhi, who was the Brahmin, she's a Brahmin gopi, disciple of Purnamasi, she appeared and she said to Krishna that they'll pay their taxes, but at the same time, you have to let them go just to protect their dignity and their reputation as being very chaste and pure ladies. So let them go, and I promise you that tomorrow at this time, they will come back to pay the tax. So Krishna agreed. But then Lalita, Vishakha, and other gopis, they gathered earlier than the scheduled time at Dana Nivartan Kund. And when Krishna and Subal and Madhu Mangal and a few cowherd boys came with their little sticks dressed as tax collectors, hundreds of gopis surrounded them and tied them to trees. And in sweet, loving words, chastised them like anything. And Krishna was conquered by their love. Please understand, this is Krishna. His universal form, he could eat the universe. Krishna, he massive armies he conquered, Jarasandha. But for the gopis, he was like a scared little child. Please don't hurt me. And the gopis said, actually, you owe tax to Radharani because she is Vrindavaneshwari. She is the queen of Vrindavan. And every day your cows are eating her grass. So you owe her tax. The tax is you fall at your feet and you surrender to her and accept her as your queen. And then they took her before Sri Radha, and with tears of love, he bathed her lotus feet and put his head at her feet. And through this beautiful story, we learn that love conquers the beloved. Krishna's Madan Mohan, he conquers the mind of Cupid. Sri Radha's Madan Mohan Mohini, her love conquers the supreme conqueror. And Lord Chaitanya is Radha giving that love to all of us through the chanting of the holy name. We'll continue the parikrama another day. I'll just tell one small story. From Dhananivartan Kund, we carry on to what is known as Anakut Chetra. It is between Dhananivartan Kund and the village of Aniyor. According to our acharyas, this is several miles, and this is where the Brijabasis made their mountains and mountains and mountains of prasad for Giriraj under Krishna's instruction. Can you imagine? It's about 5 miles of mountains and mountains and kunds and rivers of prasad. And Giriraj ate it all within a moment and cried out, Aniyor, Aniyor, which means give me more. What could fill Krishna? Krishna's unlimited. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a beautiful story where Advaita Prabhu invites Lord Chaitanya to have prasad at his house. This is when they're living in Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya came to his house and he saw there was so much prasad. Same kind of leela took place at Shantipur also. He saw that Advaita had massive quantities of prasad in his house, and it was all in front of the deities. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, just give me a leaf plate and I will take some little sabji and rice. I'm very happy to see that Krishna ate all this. And Lord Chaitanya, in the role of a devotee, was teaching us that our happiness should be in seeing Krishna enjoying. And this is actually a taste of our love, a test of how much we're actually developing love for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada wrote, told us many times, that when you love Krishna, when you see Krishna dressed beautiful with garlands and jewels, you have no inclination to dress yourself so nicely because you're just happy to see Krishna like that. And if Krishna's happy to see you dress nicely, then you'll do it too, but you're happy with Krishna's happiness. When we see Krishna getting such wonderful bhoga, that gives us happiness. I remember once at the community I was living, I was a pujari, and for a while it was the rule that for the Rajboga offering every day there was 64 preparations. 365 days a year, 64 preparations. And because I was the pujari, I had to make the plates. There was a place for Gornitai, a place for the gurus, a place for Radha Vrindavan Chandra, a plate for Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra, and another plate for the Shalagram Shilas. There was 5 plates with 64 items on each plate. Anyways, it didn't last that long. But we really tried. It lasted about a year. 64 items every day for the Raj Bhog, and every other offering was about 10 to 12 of them, six offerings a day. And I remember in my own life, on one hand, just knowing Krishna, and each preparation was incredible, opulent preparations. Practically everything you could think of was offered. There was every Raj Bhoga offering. There was kichuris and samosas and melpuras and I think about 15 subjis and about six chutneys, and there was laddus and lugloos, and there was gulab jamuns and rasgulas and sandesh and halava. And on one hand, just seeing Krishna eating all these things was so happy. And just making the plates and helping to cook the offerings and then cleaning all the plates. He's just so busy, he didn't have time to think about eating. Just absorption and just Krishna eating. It's wonderful. It's actually the higher taste. When we're so absorbed in just giving Krishna happiness, that we just neither have the time or even the will to enjoy separately. And that was Srila Prabhupada's expertise. Even neophyte devotees just keep us engaged in making Krishna happy. And there's a higher taste in that, even for a new devotee. And I remember one time Srila Prabhupada, during this period, Srila Prabhupada came to and was looking at Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Very gravely, during Srimad Bhagavatam class, he said, "Your Radha Vrindavan Chandra look very happy." He said, "They have appeared as the most beautiful boy and girl just to attract all of you American boys and girls." And he said, "They look very happy." And then he became very grave. He said, "On this bhakti marg, the path of devotion, there are two tracks, like two rails on a railway line. There is pancharatriki vidhi, the worship of the deities, by making offerings, by dressing them, by singing for them, by performing the artis, shringar. And there's Bhagavat Marg, which is hearing and chanting. Performing Harinam, performing Japa, reciting and hearing Srimad Bhagavat, Bhagavad Gita. This is Bhagavat Marg." He said, "If you are not very strongly absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and performing your sadhana, the day will come," he was very serious, "when you will look at the deities and think, why has my guru left me with this burden? Why has my guru left me with this burden of taking care of a temple and deities?" Because unless we're very, very serious about taking shelter of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy names in the association of devotees, then we lose our vision. We lose our taste. Deity worship is such a divine blessing. Rupa Goswami explains five of the most important limbs of devotional service. associating with devotees, chanting the holy names, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, visiting holy places in worship of the deities. Deity worship gives us an opportunity to very personally render service, to become attached to the form of the Lord, which awakens our eternal attachment to the form of the Lord through service, cleaning, cooking, dressing, whatever is done, whether we're washing a pot or whether we're offering aarti at midnight on Janmashtami. Krishna accepts our love. He accepts the intention of our devotion. Radhe Shyam Prabhu, he's the president of our temple in Pune, and they're building a magnificent temple there. And every day I see him scrubbing the pots here at the yatra. And they're not little pots. They're huge pots. Pots for thousands of people, and he's just down there scraping. And Muralidhar Prabhu, who's a very accomplished dental surgeon in Mumbai, with a very, very prominent, successful dental clinic in Mumbai. And yet every day I see him on his hands and knees, covered with soot, scrubbing pots in the yatra. And I am thinking, this is what it means to be transcendental. In Krishna consciousness, there's no high or low. All there is devotion. There's love. King Prataparudra was the king, but he won Lord Chaitanya's heart when he took the role of a street sweeper. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted him to remain a king too. Whether you're sweeping the street or whether you're the king of an entire kingdom, Krishna doesn't care what your position is. It's that attitude of personal service and love that is everything. So in Aniyor, Krishna ate all the offerings and then gave it all back. And I know where I was, Advaitacharya. He had all these offerings for Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya was just absolutely happy. I'm in ecstasy that Krishna's eating so nicely. Now just give me some steamed sabji. And Advaitacharya said, no, taste everything. Everything that Krishna had, you should also eat. He said, no, I just want a little steamed sabji. I'm happy to see Krishna. How much can I eat? And Advaitacharya said, I know how much you can eat. In Dwarka, 16,108 palaces, and all your queens are offering you big feast all at the same time, and you're eating all of it. And during Govardhan Puja, you ate all those miles and miles and miles of massive mountains of food, and you ate it all at once. And you still wanted more. And Jagannath, there's hundreds of cooks making hundreds of preparations every hour practically. And you're eating all of it. This is just a little bit we're just offering you. I know how much you could eat, my Lord. But then Lord Chaitanya ate a little, and Advaita kept giving him more, and Lord Chaitanya said, no, I can't eat anymore. I can't eat anymore. So this is Krishna. There's a beautiful story. Once Shivananda Sen offered Lord Chaitanya so much nice food Lord Chaitanya couldn't stop eating it because it was offered with so much love. But then the next day, his son invited him back to the house, Shivananda Sen's son, and just offered him some dahi yogurt with some black pepper and ginger powder and all these bitter things for digestion. Because the boy understood that Lord Chaitanya ate too much and the Lord has indigestion. So therefore, I'm going to give him Ayurvedic foods that increase digestion. So who wants to eat salty little patties? But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was nectar to him because he was seeing the purpose in which it was offered. This is bhakti. You can give Krishna mountains of billions of tons of food, and Krishna can eat it all at one time and say, give me more. Or you could give Krishna a feast, and to reciprocate with your love, he will get serious indigestion and discomfort. And ask for some herbal remedies. It's not the food. It's the variations of how Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. So this is the Anakut Kshetra, which is just close. And actually, on November 3rd, we're going to be preparing a beautiful offering, and hundreds of devotees will have the opportunity to cook. Be prepared for a very purifying experience, because the smoke of all the cow dung and wood will be very much in your eyes. But those tears of tapasya will give special, not the tears themselves, but the tears of your tapasya of the heart will give special flavor to the food. And we will be offering it right close to Dhanan, right in the actual place of Anakut Kshetra, where the Brijabasis are eternally making their offering to Krishna, Shri Giriraj. This time, I would like to invite two people to the stage, one at a time. I'd like to invite Malati Devi to come and share some of her memories with Srila Prabhupada. Especially, she was cooking for Prabhupada here at Govardhan Hill, were you not? So since we're talking about cooking, which many of us are going to be doing cooking the day after tomorrow, and we'll be actually offering all the bhoga, hopefully over 1,000 preparations, we'll offer it in mountains to Govardhan himself. We're not going to be offering to photos, we're going to be offering directly to the mountain of Govardhan. And we're going to have many, many appointed guards with sticks. To somehow or other at least try to encourage the monkeys to be patient. And last time we were here, we did this. It was a very, very beautiful experience. And at this time, I would like to request Malati Devi to come up and discuss about cooking for Prabhupada here at Govardhan Hill and any other stories she wants to share. And then His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj will lead us in one of his very, very famous, enthralling, dancing Sankirtan performances. Thank you very much.
Thank you.